ask any questions. I did a lot of work. It took me a lot of effort to bring them up. And I did it for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's all, just matching. Hey. How are you at? You've got more than enough answers to do this test. I don't know. There's so many I didn't even count. old, not only five things, but we have only listed five things from the book of Hebrews, all right? Boy, you talk about trick questions. That was pretty trying to get me in trouble, weren't you? Okay, any other questions? Yes?
Yeah. Yesterday we talked about the parts of Hebrews.
Okay, first was doctrinal, always chapter 10, verse 18. Then down to chapter 13, was it verse 8, which was practical exhortations, and then following that, he had personal instructions and so forth. Practical exhortations down to 10. Let me get it for sure so I don't mess you up here. I don't even really have it written down. I do. Right, doctrinal discussion down to chapter 10, verse 18. And then 19 to 13, 17, practical exhortations. And then verses 18 through 25 of chapter 13, personal instructions. Is it good?
No.
Part one. Doctrinal discussion. All the way down to chapter 10, verse 18. Now part one would be doctrinal discussion, all the way down to chapter 10, verse 18. And then in verse 9 of chapter 10 to verse 17 of chapter 13, or some people put it down 10, 9, 13, 17, we have practical exhortations. And that's the remainder of the book, down to verse 25, personal instructions. So the bulk of the book is, of course, doctrinal discussion.
I'm not going to give you a blanket statement. No, as sure as I did, there's one little question that goes on the first two tests.
being done today?
Not by when?
12:30, quarter to one.
No, they're in class at 12:30.
All right, quarter to one.
Quarter after one. Sometime today. Okay, I'll take your equipment. I'm going to be gone before then anyway. Because I've got a very enjoyable weekend planned out for me. I'm going to flag and kick back.
Stop.
Oh, that's going to be great. I know you have to worry about teaching Monday. I just come in. Tuesday's day of prayer. I'm basically off till Wednesday. Yes, I will have a hard time sleeping Sunday night because I lay in bed just giggling. How hard this is going to be. Okay, any other questions?
Do assign a viable option.
After the test. Then you'll have more incentive.
Also,
where he says, and I'll be a father to him, and again, I'll be a father to him. That's a second quotation concerning Christ. And then we get down to verse 6. Now, there's actually a couple of quotations here from Deuteronomy 32, verse 43 in the Septuagint, and also Psalm 97, verse 7 in the Septuagint, where it says, and again, when he bringeth them the first begotten into the world, speaking of the second advent. And so that's a third quotation. And again, when he bringeth the Son into the world.
Those two are considered one quotation.
Yes, those are. There's some back and forth exactly where it came from because they're both very similar. So it could be the either or there. Yeah. Where it says in verse 6, and again, when you bring in the first begotten into the world, when you bring the first begotten into the world, or and again, either way.
Again, when you bring it.
And the first begotten into the world. Kind of like what the verse says. And then verse 6, again. He says, and let all the angels, or I'm sorry, verse 7, a quotation from Psalms 104, verse 4. And unto the angels, he said.
This is number 4.
Yeah. And number 5 is from verses 8 and 9. Psalms 104:4, verse 7. Oh. All right. Okay, now verses 8 and 9. Number 5, Psalms 45, 6, and 7. And verses 8 and 9, it says, Thy throne, O God, speaking of the fact that Christ is God, a very direct statement to the deity of Christ. God himself. And then in verses 10 through 12, the sixth quotation, verses 10 through 12, Psalms 102, verses 25 through 27, verse 10 speaks about laying the foundation, Christ the Creator. That's number 6. And then in number 7, from verse 13, Psalms 110, verse 1, Christ is shown as being the conqueror. Sit at my right hand, I'll make your enemies your footstool, and so forth. Okay, the sixth one. Well, 10 to 12, you could have laying the foundation, being the creator, remaining, destroying, or any of those. Basically, all that is involved there. So, if you put anything in those two verses, that would be counted. Okay, those are the seven. We had the seven propositions. Do we have those down pretty good? Everybody have those down? The seven propositions. Anybody have any questions on the seven propositions? Because I might guess. The name of the seventh quote. Okay, the seventh quote in verse 13, it basically shows Christ is the conqueror. He says, sit at my right hand or make an enemy as a footstool. Anything in that verse would have been sufficient. Just so that I know that you know what you're trying to say. Psalm, out of verse 7, Psalms 104, verse 4. And then verse 7, it says, into the angels who make it his angel spirits or his ministers. Flame of fire, so he said, and I'll see anything in the verse with him. Just so I know you know where you're coming from. That's all I was looking for. Other quotes? Number 1, out of verse 5, Psalm 2:7. And then number 2 is also out of verse 5, 2 Samuel 7:14. Okay, look at verse 5. Verse 5, it says, thou art my son, if they ever begotten, they say anything like that, thou art my son, or whatever. And then it says, and again, I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son, anything in that type of a context. Seven propositions, do we have those? course, there were the seven characteristics. So again, there were those three sets of seven concerning the person of Christ given to us in chapter 1. And that's why he starts off with chapter 2. Therefore, because of all that Christ is, and the fact even that Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament, all these quotations and all these characteristics, therefore, and then he goes into this whole doctrinal discussion thing, and we go all the way up to chapter 10, verse 18. Therefore, why we should follow him. That's the whole book. I'm not sure. I want to ask you a little more than that about it. But I mean, that's the whole book. Like the last verse of chapter 13. The grace of God be with you all. What a song. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he that was a bondwoman was born after the flesh, and he that was a free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, bearing children for bondage, who is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is in his bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, and the mother of us all. So we see then that there are an allegory given to us. Back over to chapter 12. Verse 22. It says that we are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And so we see that the contrast between Mount Sinai entering to law of the old covenant, and Mount Zion entering to the new Jerusalem. We are come to Mount Sinai. We are on Mount Zion. We are not come to Mount Sinai. measure at which Christ has gone back to go far up. And I believe this is where those of us who are by bodies will reside. Because when we have the new heavens and the new earth, we see that the new Jerusalem comes down at that time. And I think that will be the residence. And that's what we're looking for. That new Jerusalem. So we have not come to some dark mountain that couldn't be touched. We can touch it. If an animal touched it, it was crushed through the spirit said. We come to know it's living and alive. Okay, any other questions here? Okay. Have a nice weekend.